Hello and welcome to the Mindful Belly Don't Eat Your Feelings podcast. I'm your host and emotional eating coach, Ellie Rome. So in this episode, forgive the audio if there's any background noise. I am out on a walk right now, but I feel very inspired. And something, this is one of the tips I give my clients is that a lot of times it's difficult sometimes to find throughout the day pockets of time to go on a walk, pockets of time to get movement in. And so to pair that with things, like y'all, I have therapy. I see a therapist each week and it's amazing. And we FaceTime and I go on a walk. So I walk for an entire hour while I'm talking to her. It also helps me process moving energy while I'm speaking with her. Helps me to really get clear on my thoughts, clear what I'm processing as I'm going through emotional things. And I'm moving my body. I'm getting that movement. And it's so finding things like that. If you can take meetings on the phone or on Zoom and that you're allowed to walk, if it's maybe with someone on your team that it doesn't, that you don't necessarily need to be at your computer or that you can access things from your phone and they don't mind if you're moving or anything that you're just listening into a call or listening to a podcast, just like get on a walk and move. I have certain meetings that I call into and that I don't have to have my video on. And so sometimes I go to the gym and I'm just listening to the meeting and then hopping on when I need to. So things like that, it's like how can, and it doesn't have to be an entire hour. And I think that's one of the mindsets. And that's really what I want to talk about in this episode is shifting mindsets specifically around eating and food. But for the purposes of this intro around the all or nothing mentality, which a lot of times is what we get sucked into, especially most of us with addictive personalities. And if you're struggling with sugar addiction, binge eating and other addictions, this is something I really struggled with. And a lot of times we live in extremes and it's all or none of, well, if I can't walk for an hour, then I'm not going to go. But it's like, if I can go for 10 minutes, that's way better than 0 minutes. And a lot of times it's once we get that momentum, we don't want to stop. It's just getting out the door. So chunking things down, just getting started and releasing perfectionism around how we do things, especially with movement. Anyways, okay, so for this episode, I really want to talk about shifting your mindset around food and the beginning of mindful eating. And so this is something I really, really has transformed my life. And I see it. This is what really transforms long-lasting habits with my clients. Again, my people I work with have long histories of dieting, sugar addiction, binge eating, and emotional eating, and compulsive eating, where they get really caught in cycles. And I was in this too, of binging, feeling guilty and shameful, committing to some super restriction, whether it's, okay, now I'm going to work out. I got to work out so much tomorrow because I binged, or I have to restrict myself for the next week. I'm only going to eat 500 calories a day or 1,000 calories a day so that I can like basically make up for the binge that I just had. Then that works for a little period, and then they get stressed or overwhelmed, feel lonely, and then they binge again. And so it's this like relentless cycle of binging, shame and guilt, massive restriction, and then repeat. Anyway, so a lot of times when it comes to eating, the really shifting mindset around food in regards to like, I can't have or I shouldn't have, and noticing when you may be living in extremes or when your mind gets caught in these story loops. And when I work with clients, we draw out their loops, like what are the patterns so they can actually start seeing them. And this is how we start building mindfulness, the awareness of our thoughts, that we're not, our thoughts a lot of times have been programmed since we were 5 years old, patterns, or that we saw this in our moms or our sisters or our family members, the patterns of using food for coping mechanisms or binge eating or patterns of judgment. And so if you notice yourself in a thought loop pattern, it's huge to be able to be aware of the cycles that are happening so you can become the observer of it and watch. And so when it comes to eating, a lot of times we are using food for quick hits of energy. We're using food when we're feeling tired. We're using food when we are stressed out. And I know for myself, it was just like compulsively reaching for food, even if it was healthier food, just wanting to eat because there's something about that like oral fixation and feeling calm and grounded whenever I was eating. And I had really built a strong pattern between stress and eating. I was a big stress eater. And how to break that was really starting to become aware of that habit. Am I actually hungry? Why am I reaching for this? Developing mindfulness around that. And then you've heard me, if you've heard this podcast, you've probably heard me talk about me reaching for club soda and building a new habit pattern. But what I wanted to really focus on today, sorry y'all, I'm walking and I'm kind of everywhere. So what I wanted to focus on today is, I had a client the other day. She's a physician. She has a really young child, and she said how much she noticed how much it's eating this way, eating whole foods, eating more balanced, is making such an impact on her mental health. I was feeling so much more grounded, so much less reactive and anxious. And it makes sense. When our blood sugar is erratic, it makes our mood erratic. It makes our impulsivity erratic. And when we are getting strong hits of dopamine from our food all the time, then we can be really hit these highs and lows throughout the day, so that we're irritable when we're in our lows. We're cranky. We're responding in ways that we may not, that's not our higher self, but it's because our nervous system's imbalanced and driven from our blood sugar and inflammation in the body, stress in the body because of the foods we're eating. So when we're eating more balanced, we become more balanced. But the thing to point out here is that she's starting to see food now as her mood. Food as energy, food as the way she's showing up in the world. And this is, I think, one of the biggest wins. Her goal, her ultimate goal was losing weight, but she's realizing so much, like, it's so much beyond that. Yes, she's lost, I think, like 14 pounds already, but she is feeling so much more balanced in her day, and it's becoming so much easier that she doesn't even want to eat the foods that make her feel like crap and make her feel up and down, and noticing the ones that are making her crave more sugar and more carbs. So there are certain foods she's seeing that it's not that these foods are bad, or like telling herself like, I'm not going to eat those. And that's what we talk about, like that we're releasing all of that, the judgment around a certain food. It's not good or bad. It's, how is this making me feel? What is the data from this food when I eat it? Oh, when I eat this, I don't want to stop. When I eat this ice cream, I want 6 more scoops. That's me. That's like there's certain foods that require so much more energy from me to not overeat or to not binge eat. And it's just not worth it for me anymore. Like, I don't even, and once, like, after a while, it's like, I don't even want those because I just don't crave them anymore, because it's not in my life. But in the beginning, it's really learning how to see the food for its effects. And then things start looking, not looking as appetizing, because it's like, great, like, I could eat that ice cream, but I don't want to feel relentless cravings after this, which is the data that has proven over and over again that happens. When I eat this, then I have cravings. When I eat this, then I feel bloated and tired. When I eat this, it puts me on this spiral and it's harder to get off. And so once you can start seeing foods as that, it's so much easier to realize, like, oh, I want to feel satiated. So I'm choosing the foods that are going to make me feel what I want to feel. I'm choosing protein because I want to feel satiated. I'm choosing chicken and eggs and whole foods, real foods, because I want to feel fresh and I want to feel light. And this is just a huge shift in how a lot of us see that. Sometimes it's just not realizing how much food is affecting our day-to-day mood, our day-to-day, how we are showing up in the world. You know, we're tired and depleted and bloated or feeling guilty. How are we showing up for our loved ones? Usually very impatient. And if we're feeling insecure in ourselves, we're going to feel insecure in relationship. And so it affects our romantic relationships. You know, a lot of the wins I see with people is how much when they're feeling more confident in themselves, when they're feeling more comfortable with themselves and energized, like we become magnets. And how much improvement happens in relationships, wanting to be out and being social because you feel good. And it's just an upward spiral. So, and it starts with each food choice. And again, to release the new mindset that I just want to teach in this episode is to release the good or the bad around foods and really seeing foods as energy, foods as data, foods as what their effect they're having on you. And then being able to choose that and choosing the more positive effects. And within that, I often say, like, see foods as on a spectrum as well. I teach this a lot in my 21-day reset. So that's a group program I lead. I will be leading one in January. If you're called to be part of an online group that I coach you for 21 days live, so you're with me and we are working both through the how to help you have an anti-inflammatory diet, and that's very practical, and working through, excuse me, I'm walking towards a lawnmower. But an anti-inflammatory diet, low inflammatory diet, and also a huge part of this 21 day reset is the mindfulness. But with that, so in the 21 day reset, I teach a lot on seeing foods on a spectrum. So instead of like from good or bad foods, it's like, okay, 0 to 10. For me, on, you know, I know if I were to eat something like a piece of pizza, like that for me would be like a 2 in regards to like draining my energy, bloated, feeling not lousy, wanting to eat more. It'd be like a 2, maybe a 1. So how can I up level that choice? How can I choose something better? Okay, well, down the street there's a restaurant and they do gluten-free cauliflower crust and they're dairy-free and these organic ingredients. Great, that just bumped up to like a 6. And that may be for you, it could be like an 8, depending on how you feel after you eat it, what it triggers in you. And I think one of the big things to notice is there's a bunch of different triggers. So as I mentioned, like mental health, noticing that next day, how do you feel? How do you feel with your cravings? How do you feel in your stomach? Do you feel bloated? Do you feel kind of tired after you eat? And some of my clients, we do tracking, and it's different for everybody. Some people really love tracking, some people not as much, or doesn't help quite as much. But I see tracking so helpful, especially we'll do usually a couple weeks of journaling with it. So it's learning that you're starting to actually get these reoccurring patterns and seeing which foods, because you may be very unaware, like, I don't know how this makes me feel. But once you start journaling it for a couple weeks, it's like, oh my gosh, it becomes so much more apparent. And you can even start rating foods. Like, how could I up-level this? Oh, I'm going to add some protein to it. Oh, I'm going to reduce the amount of, you know, maybe I'll eat only one piece of the bun on this thing and up my protein. And so releasing the all or none mentality around it, really focusing on up-leveling, focusing on how food makes you feel, and continuously choosing foods that make you feel better. And the better you feel, the better choices you're going to make. I do also want to say other ways you can up level is just the how also, like, how are you eating this food? So say you are going to eat a slice of pizza. Can you slow down with it? If you know it's one of the more of your like bingeable foods, or a food that once you eat it, it maybe causes more cravings, that's something that you can hold as data. And then what can you set up for yourself so that it doesn't lead to that? So say it's chocolate. There's a chocolate bar and it's Halloween and you really want to eat it, but you know from history that starting eating one is going to lead you to want to eat a bunch. So one, how could you up-level that? Could you make that a dark chocolate bar? Could you make that a chocolate Seesaw RX bar? Those are like my favorite. To eat that instead, could you swap it? If not, if you really want, say like you just love Kit Kats and you just want one Kit Kat, but often that may lead to you eating 20 Kit Kats. So setting up a ritual where you are grounded when you're eating that. That you're not in a stressed or super excitable state, because sometimes that we're just continuing to eat it to calm our nervous system. See if you can prevent, like preemptively ground your nervous system. I teach a lot the 5-5-7 breath, which is a 5-second inhale, a 5-second hold, and a 7-second exhale. When we do breath patterns that we're elongating the exhale, it helps our nervous system know that we're safe, helps to ground us, that we're not eating that food out of stress. So can we ground before we eat it? Can we ground after we eat it? Because a lot of times we get that dopamine hit and then we want another one. So if you can ground before you eat, say it's this Kit Kat, we're going to do this as an example. So you go sit if you can. It's so grounding to get yourself out in nature. Can you go sit in your backyard, put your bare feet in the grass? That's like a huge win. And just breathe. Do some breaths. Ground. Take away distractions. So we're not unwrapping, we're not in the car shoveling the Kit Kat in. We're grounded, we're sitting, we're opening that Kit Kat, we're smelling it. We're gonna enjoy every single bite with presence. And then when it's done, we breathe and we notice the mind that's like, I want another one. Oh, it's over, I want another one. And we breathe with that part. And it's just like, okay, we're just gonna have this one and have a tea afterwards, or have something else that you can maybe give yourself orally that your brain can kind of reach to. This is what I call the post-indulgence ritual. Anytime if you're someone who like eats dessert and overeats it or eats something at night, it's like, how can you, to prevent overeating, create a ritual around it where you're giving yourself something afterwards to give your brain something to do, but to also signal that that thing is done. So often, like at restaurants, I have decaf coffee or a tea or something soothing, calming, sparkling water, just to something for myself to go to afterwards. So say it's this Kit Kat, and then you're grounded, you're breathing, you're sipping on a tea. It's like, that's over. Oh, I don't have to eat 600. Oh, just because I ate one, notice the voice that's like, well, today's ruined because you had one mini Kit Kat, so you might as well go eat the whole box of cookies that's in the cabinet. It's like, that is an old program that may just start to run, and you get to breathe and say, you know what, I don't have to do that. I'm creating a new story, a new reality right now. I can just eat one. And also notice your verbs, or notice your words, because sometimes we're speaking the stories, well, I always do this, or, you know, I can't control myself. Like, speaking that out loud, like, that's reinforcing the program. Speaking now, you are new. One of my clients, I love it. She always tells me, what does she say? It's, the words are so good. It's like, from now on, or up until now, I did that. But now, I can control myself. Now, I can eat mindfully. I can choose, and I can eat with grace. I can moderate. And so noticing your language, and you're right, rewriting your patterning. And it starts one practice at a time. So back to the other ways to up-level. So as I mentioned, that spectrum of like the types of foods, how can we up-level by up-leveling the ingredients or up-leveling the choice? It's also up-leveling how we're approaching that food. And sometimes I like to say, like, if there's green, yellow, red foods, and I know other programs do this, but in my regards, it's like, what are the bingeable foods? So things like something like bland chicken and broccoli, like, not that bingeable. We eat one, we eat a little bit, and it's like, we're good, and we feel satiated. We don't want much more. But they're super stimulating foods, which are designed to do this, by the way, engineered to do this. Things like chips, things like cookies, things like Oreos that are so super stimulating to our palate. We get such a big dopamine hit. Every bite we take, we're getting this huge dopamine hit, meaning the next urge to want that next bite. So we can label those foods, and maybe those are red foods. So we know when we eat those, that Kit Kat is probably in that category. That's where we need to have that presence. Okay, I'm about to eat something like this. Is this what I want? Yes, I'm going to make this choice consciously. I'm going to slow down then with it. Maybe it's a special occasion. Maybe it's a holiday, and you're like, you know what? I do want to eat this, my grandma's apple pie, but I know it might trigger some stuff in me. This is in my red category, or in my caution category, that I need to really bring presence to this. And I'm going to slow down with it. I'm going to have tea afterwards. I'm going to notice if the story comes that tells me that I've ruined the day, and remind myself that is not true. I did great today. And after this, I am going to have a wonderful, healthy dinner, or I'm going to have a great breakfast tomorrow. And that we don't have to let it be this slippery slope. And that's the thing. Like, a lot of times it's not the singular choice that may not be the best choice for us in the moment, eating a piece of pie. It's the after effects of all the story around that usually leads to more binging, more eating, choices that aren't great for us. And that's where we end up back in a really deep spiral. But if we can just come back to presence, which is this mindfulness practice, which is why I'm so huge on meditation and being able to be able to become aware of your mind in the moment, and breath work. And y'all can always join me on breath work Monday mornings, 8 a.m. Central, and Zoom every Monday live. It's a free class. Come join. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. But that we are developing this ability to be present. And that's our power. That is our superpower, when we don't have to get caught in our old loops and stories and run on autopilot. And you can change. You can absolutely change. So this may have been a lot. So I love your takeaways, and is self-compassion. If you're someone on this journey of food addiction or sugar addiction or binge eating, a big part of it is a lot of self-judgment and feelings of failure, or feelings like, oh my gosh, if this is ever going to stop. And just to be one of the most healing parts that helps us break these cycles is self-compassion, is really building that muscle of, how can I love myself today? And actually seeing food through that lens. I love myself enough to nourish myself with good food, that I am taking care of myself, I'm taking care of my body, versus shaming my body, restricting myself out of a form of punishment, which just drives more shame, drives more guilt, which is the biggest driver of binge eating. So it's like the thing that we think is going to help control our binge eating, the shaming ourselves and judging ourselves and hyper-controlling is actually the thing that's causing more of the binging. So the quicker we can come into self-compassion, the quicker we heal. So that's like the biggest focus is how can I be gentle with myself today? How can I be kind to myself today? How can I cheerlead myself today? And focus on your wins. So I love you guys so much. And thank you for listening. And reach out to me if you are somebody who's interested in one-on-one coaching with me. You can set up a free strategy session at calendly.com/mindfulbelly. You can follow me on Instagram at mindfulbelly. I lead retreats now all over the world. And we are growing and it's super exciting. We take people out into nature. We unplug and we build community. And this is also one of the biggest healing mechanisms for any addiction is connection. Connection to others. Being surrounded by growth-minded people. We eat very clean on these retreats and we do a lot of mindful eating and emotional eating work on these retreats and a lot of release. A lot of the times we're binge eating is because we are coping with a lot of unprocessed emotions. So we do a lot of emotional release on these retreats. So if that ever calls to you, they're called Comfort Zone Retreats and I'll put the link in the show notes. And we're going to Glacier National Park in June 2024. And we are going to have, I believe, a Costa Rica retreat, a small women's retreat in May. So I'll keep you posted. And we are going to be going to Costa Rica for a larger retreat in December 2024. Stay tuned for that. And yeah, I'd love your thoughts. If you want to reach out to me on Instagram, say hi. Let me know your takeaways from this episode. I would love that. So talk to you soon.